We're going to catch up with a very good friend of the show right now, though, as I invite today a man who we know and love around here on World Football Daily. He is a writer for The Independent on Sunday, and he's a man who's going to talk to us about the Champions League football from last night. We're continuing the trend of sticking with the English journos about the English clubs. Very important results for David Moyes, Wayne Rooney and Pellegrini last night. So let's get into all of that with Mr. Steve Tung of The Independent on Sunday. Steve, mate, how are you? It's a pleasure to have you back on the show.
Very good, thank you. Yes, just back from Manchester, where they were very satisfied with United's performance, and I imagine the City fans were pretty satisfied with City's as well.
I was going to say, it must be all smiles up at Old Trafford at the final whistle yesterday evening. Comprehensive win for United, important for morale around the club at the moment.
It was important because a lot has been made of the fact that David Moyes was going into his first Champions League game as a manager in the actual group stage, of course. The only little point about it was maybe just that conceding the second goal to Leverkusen right at the end. It didn't matter in the end, as it happened, 88 minutes and 4-1 up. But 4-1 always looks a lot better than 4-2. 4-1 would have looked extremely impressive against probably the third, if not fourth, best side in Germany. And maybe that second goal that they scored, the second goal they got in the second half, did ask one or two questions about the United defence as well.
What about the first goal for Bayer Leverkusen last night? What was it like around Old Trafford yesterday evening when that went in? Was there a sense of apprehension? Was there a big intake of breath from the United fans that thought, uh-oh, we don't want another slip-up at home here in the Champions League?
Well, there was, especially those who know their history, because, of course, Leverkusen got the 2-2 draw there some years ago in the semi-final when United thought it was all set up for them to get through to the final in Glasgow for Sir Alex Ferguson. By getting the second goal then, two away goals made it very difficult for United to go and win the second leg when they only managed a 1-1 draw. So there's a little bit of history. And I think also the fact that Leverkusen had been almost outplayed for a lot of the time. And so to suddenly approaching the hour, it's 1-1. And as you say, there's a certain amount of apprehension descends. And it was fortunate that Robin van Persie came up with that goal within 5 minutes of that, which I think really put everybody at their ease again.
Settled everybody down. There was a lot of talk about Wayne Rooney's opener as well and the interference with the goalkeeper from Valencia. Did you see it that way as soon as that happened? Or was it more of on a second reflection, you think Valencia is interfering with the goalkeeper? And should it really have stood? Should it have been offside against Antonio Valencia?
Well, it shouldn't have stood. When they immediately protested the defenders, and there was a question of whether they were protesting about the offside, because the replays, as you may have seen, suggested that Evra was a fraction offside, although that was a tough decision. Van Persie had clearly been in an offside position but came back and wasn't really interfering with the play. So I think United would have got away with that one. But then, as was clear from repeated viewings of the replays, Valencia was quite clearly interfering with the goalkeeper. I mean, whether you say he's in his line of sight or whether he's physically interfering or whether he's in an offside position, you could really go for any one of those three and rule the goal out. And taking all three together, it really shouldn't have stood. So you could say that when Rolf has scored, that might have actually put Leverkusen in the lead, and it would have been looking a very difficult game at that stage with the German side a goal ahead after 55 minutes.
As you said, when Rolf has scored, it was United who had been on top of for most of that. A great performance by Wayne Rooney as well. We spoke at the very beginning about it settling United down, this victory. How important has this performance from Rooney been to once again just settle things down for Wayne and his future at Old Trafford?
Well, it's just confirmed it, really. I think he was very well on the way, to be honest, because there was a bit of apprehension in his camp about how he would be received by the United fans after it had been made clear in the summer that he wanted to go. He was clever enough not actually to put in a transfer request, which is the one thing that generally really alienates the fans. But they've been remarkably supportive. I think that was clear in the game at home to Crystal Palace, the Chelsea game too. And if he's going to keep scoring goals and to reach a landmark with people like Bobby Charlton and Dennis Law, 200 goals, is only going to cement his popularity. Now, there are, you know, still rumours that Arsenal, for instance, will try again for him in January. We don't know what Chelsea's approach will be by then, whether having got Samuel Eto'o, they're happy enough with what they've got, which you would think might be the case. unless they get a real indication from the Rooney camp that he's still very keen on that move. But no, for the moment, I think he's a very popular figure again at Old Trafford. And if he keeps scoring like that, that will only continue.
Rooney was maybe a little tetchy in his post-match interview with television about the prospect of his future. How much do you think Rooney's desire to leave has been influenced by people away from him, other maybe kind of agents, representatives, etc.? Do you think Wayne's been solely in charge of these kind of decisions and all the rumours we've heard about him wanting to leave United and whether he should stay or not?
No, he wouldn't be. But then again, if he would had made, you know, he only had to say about three words or four words, "I want to stay," at some stage during the summer, and the whole thing could have been forgotten about. It's always, of course, in agents' financial interests, talking in general terms rather than in this particular case. But it's always in an agent's financial interest to move a player on, which is one of the unfortunate things about modern football, because there will always be money in it for them. But it's good to see in a way that he has kept that relationship with the crowd and remains such a popular figure. As I say, I rather fear that come, say, December, the latter half of December, we may be going through all this again until the next transfer window is closed. So it would be nice if maybe even before that, he just pledged his future to the club and we could forget about the whole thing.
And some important game time as well for three important United players just before we look at City, Steve. Kagawa, new boy Fellaini, and of course Smalling, all having solid games. People have been calling for Kagawa. We've been waiting to see Fellaini, of course, since the deadline day signing. And Chris Smalling, who is a player with a lot of potential and who many see as being an anchor in that United back four for later on in the future. How important are these minutes and getting these players on the pitch for Moyes and to kind of keep the fans just nice and settled? Because, again, there have been some shouts about getting these players in the side ASAP.
Yes, I thought David Moyes played it very well. He made just the three changes from Saturday's game, in contrast to City, who, as you say, we'll talk about in a minute, and they came in and did well. The one thing I wasn't entirely convinced about was Kagawa's position and where he played. He's not a natural left winger, whereas with Ashley Young on that left-hand side, you could see a much better balance to the team. On the other hand, there was a worry with only the two central players, if you had just Carrick and Fellaini in there, that they might get outnumbered. So you could see why Kagawa was pushing infield a bit. But as I said in the paper this morning, I did think that it put a lot more emphasis on Evra having to get forward down the left because they did lack that natural width. So as I say, with Ashley Young there, you do get a better balance. Nani to come back in as well, of course, who often plays on the opposite flank to Valencia. Chris Smalling, it's proving a very adaptable player. I don't think he'll end up at right back. You would have thought in the long term that he and Phil Jones are earmarked as centre halves. But in the meantime, and while Ferdinand and Vidic are still going so strong, it's very useful to have both of them, although Jones is injured at the moment, of course, available to play another position. So, all that really worked out quite well.
Of course, so Steve, if you have Ashley Young there, you're guaranteed a yellow card for diving at some point in the game as well, some people might say. City rested plenty of players on the weekend for the what appeared to be this Champions League tie. It took them 48 minutes to get on the score sheet, but finally doing the business in Europe and confidently as well.
Yes, to be fair, this did always look like the weakest other team in the group, Viktoria Plzeň, in the Czech Republic. Of course, hostile atmosphere and small crowd and so on and so forth. Just under about 11,000, I think, were there, were quite atmospheric. And judging from reports, which I was getting on the Manchester radio stations at Old Trafford as well, they were making a lot of chances and really not taking them. So it would have been a great relief. The point I felt about the team selection, in contrast to United's, was that he, Pellegrini, who is, of course, new to all this, played a two-weeker side at Stoke on Saturday. Mark Hughes really seemed to be indicating that he thought he'd underestimated Stoke, which I think may well have been the case. Given that a lot of new players were coming in as well, it wasn't an established side exactly. And I think they paid the penalty for that on Saturday and were very lucky to get away with even one point in that goalless draw at Stoke. And he was clearly saving players. He played a much stronger side last night with Dzeko coming back, Fernandinho coming back. He had Navas and Aguero starting as well. And it did look, it looked on paper like a side that ought to be too strong for Victoria Plzeň. I think a good game for them to start with, really, because they've got an away win. They've got 3 points in the bank. And with Bayern Munich winning 3-0 as well, very comfortably at home, you would really be looking at City now, those two games with CSKA Moscow, as the ones which ought to decide probably who finishes runners-up to Bayern Munich.
Steve, Edin Dzeko on the score sheet again last night has had a solid start to his Premier League season as well this year. In the summer there was all this talk about him being given a second chance at City. Did you ever feel that was deserving, that Dzeko had underperformed so greatly at City that he should be considered to be on his way out this year?
I think he got away with it to an extent, because partly perhaps because it was well known that he and Roberto Mancini just didn't get on. He always looked a player who could achieve more. He always looked as though he had the potential. And so City were prepared to give him the benefit of the doubt and say, well, maybe under a new manager, he'll get the new start he wants and we'll prove it. And in many ways, he looks more of a, not an old-fashioned centre-forward in the England sense, but he looks very much more of a centre-forward than anything else they've got. Gives you that extra aerial ability, for instance, whereas people like Aguero, you see, are sort of buzzing around him. And I think they'll come to regard Dzeko as quite an important player this season. So it's quite encouraging from their point of view, the way he has performed. I mean, I was sitting there at Stoke on Saturday, you know, really hoping they would bring him on, because although Negredo was doing OK, they weren't getting much from Jovetic. And you just wanted a change up front, and you thought Dzeko might be the man. But again, the manager appeared to have his eye very much on last night.
There's also been a lot of talk about the importance of Yaya Toure in this Manchester City side. With the purchase of Fernandinho and what you've seen from him so far this season, have they brought in somebody who is able to pick up that slack if or should Yaya Toure end up out, either suspended or injured? Because he has been an anchor for them in the heart of the pitch.
Yeah, so they could become a very imposing combination, probably as the two holding central midfielders, although Toure particularly can always push forward. The one surprise, and apparently some of the Manchester City's England players were talking about this quite openly when they met up, was the surprise that Gareth Barry has been allowed to leave. I mean, he had his detractors, and it was fair enough that in comparison with Toure in particular, He could often look a little bit pedestrian, a little bit unspectacular. But I think a lot of people at City felt he still had a lot to offer, and that Everton had done extremely well to pick him up on a loan. So whether they actually come to miss him over the course of the season remains to be seen. Fernandinho and Toure does look a good combination as the defensive side. But Fernandinho, rather like, seems to me, with Paulinho at Tottenham, we're not convinced quite yet how quickly he will settle in, what his role will be, and how well he will link up with the others. But for the moment, and again, it was a good sort of game for him to settle into last night, you would say that was looking a decent combination.
Steve, just finally, quickly on the games tonight. Marseille take on Arsenal in that group of death. Marseille, no slouches, but maybe a slightly less inexperienced, slightly more inexperienced side, sorry, than Arsenal in Champions League football. Tough game on the road, though, for the Gunners tonight. Do you expect them still, with their flying form, to get a result in France this evening?
You would certainly think so. They've just about got away with it in terms of injuries, it would seem, because Wenger himself is admitting they're a bit threadbare, which is leading some of his critics to say, well, maybe you should have bought more than one senior player in the whole of the transfer window. But, of course, Ozil will be fit to play. Giroud will be fit to play. And I think that was the main worry, that if Giroud isn't fit, they are very short up front. But you would have thought that Walcott, Ozil, Wilshere, Giroud, they'd have enough firepower. Flamini seems to have settled in quite well again as one of the defensive players, which is the role he will fill with Ramsey, I think, today. And you would expect that, although Marseille will come out firing at them, that Arsenal would get something, certainly.
And a British side with a very daunting prospect indeed, a Celtic as well. They go to the San Siro tonight. Do they have a chance of getting out of this group? We saw it last season. They're wonderful in the Champions League and getting one over Barcelona, of course. But against Barca, Milan and Ajax, are Celtic relegating themselves to fighting for third place already, do you think?
You would have thought so. And third place wouldn't be anything to be sniffed at, I don't think, in that group. You know, they're going to walk away with the Scottish Championship, you would have thought. And so they are one of those teams who could afford to be in the Europa League, to keep in Europe after Christmas and not have too much effect on their league progress. But no, I think third place will be the aim and a good achievement to get that.
And against Milan tonight, they don't have Victor Wanyama anymore. Do they have a solid enough holding midfield in Brown and Ledley to be able to hold up this this Milan attack, do you think?
Well, you're asking a lot, aren't you? Probably Robinho, Balotelli, Emanuelsson maybe, or going forward for Milan with a strong base, De Jong behind them. It's a lot to ask of Scott Brown. The other Scott Brown had a very good game for Scotland at Wembley, when one of the few occasions we get to see the Scottish players in the flesh. But he's got a very big task on tonight. And again, if Celtic get anything, you would have thought that would be a cause for considerable celebration.
It will be a spectacular following for Celtic tonight in the San Siro. Can they get a result? We'll find out tomorrow. Steve, though, we will let you get back to the day job, mate. We very much appreciate you coming on and giving us some thoughts into last night's game for the two Manchester clubs. Hope you had a cracking night at Old Trafford. It looked fantastic. And we will see you soon, very shortly, I hope.
Pleasure as always.
Thank you so much there. Mr. Steve Tung joining us here on World Football Daily, talking all things Champions League football from last night, including the Manchester clubs, City getting that big 3-0 win, and of course Manchester United getting a nice comfy 4-2 win, Wayne Rooney striking those two goals. And all very happy for Rooney with United at the moment. Little touchy in his post-match interview there, as I said earlier. Just kind of reacting, saying he wants to get down to football and not worry about all this transfer talk and whatnot that was happening over the summer. But United starting very well indeed. Celtic take on AC Milan, and of course Chelsea have a very nice, comfy start against Basel, with Marseille taking on Arsenal in France tonight. You can follow Steve at Steve Tung on Twitter. But for now, it's a big thanks to Steve Tung for joining us here on World Football Daily.